This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I just love this reggae music. It's my favorite of all time. I wish they would just play this on autopilot, never turn it off. It's just so great. I love it so much.
He keeps the people coming back for more.
Super excited. And I might just add this. I've missed Paul Hamilton, and that's the reason I'm back.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I mean, I miss Paul Hamilton all the time. And luckily, I get to fill that void right now because Paul Hamilton joins us on the Westher Hotline here to kick off hour number three of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you and now joined by Paul Hamilton. Paul, it's been a minute since I've been able to talk to you on the air.
It has, and I am very, very relieved because when I heard Kyle wasn't here, I wondered what we'd talk about since I knew we couldn't talk about sports. And now that I know Joe Calley's here, now I know we can talk about sports, and I'm very relieved.
Hey, first of all, you know I can be a man on business every now and then. I take my job sometimes seriously.
Yeah, I thought maybe you and I are going to talk about stocks or something like that.
First of all, if that's the case, then everyone's losing their money. So that's a bad idea right there. Stocks, good. Okay, ready? There's our stocks talk. But Paul, obviously the Four Nations Tournament going on over the weekend here, and it's rivalry day for both of these games, Sweden-Finland and U.S. versus Canada. And it looks like through the first couple of these games, first of all, can we please get the 3-2-1 point system put in the NHL, because they're thinking about this sort of thing clearly because it's here in the Four Nations Tournament.
You know, it's interesting that I know there have been some people that actually have taken the NHL standings and then figured out, okay, what if it was a 3-2-1 point system? And shockingly, it didn't change all that much. I remember the first time they did it, it changed one playoff spot. Mm-hmm. You know, one team would have made it that didn't. And it didn't make as much difference as you might think it would, only because, well, yeah, you get 3 points for a win, but so are the teams around you. So, you know, it's kind of like this, well, right now you get 2 points for a win. Well, so do the teams around you. You know, so, you know, when they're getting 3 points, you're getting 3 points. And I thought it would matter more, but it just, for, you know, as I said, from what I've read by some folks, it matters a little, but not much. But certainly, you know, it's a fun idea.
And that's a big thing about this, Paul. When it comes to marketing, the NHL has oftentimes fallen on their face when it comes to promoting fun. And this tournament, though, has not been that. It is the first time that many fans have seen best-on-best competition on an international level. And it is bringing out the best of these players in terms of their competition, the fire. Because for these players, it's also the first time that they actually get to do this type of a matchup, considering that the NHL players haven't been in Olympic play over the past, the last two Olympic games?
Yeah, and the thing is, And it has been great hockey and everything. But, you know, it's still, I remember when they did it all the time with Canada Cups and all that, and Gretzky and Lemieux were on the same line, and the Russians would come in, and there was just the hatred between the two teams. I mean, in the Russian series against NHL teams, Sabres, if you remember, won their game against the Russian Wings team 12-6. And then one of the teams went to Philadelphia, and the Flyers, like, were just so dirty, and the refs were letting it go. The Russians actually pulled their team off the ice and went to the locker room. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that went on back then, yep. And it was just so nasty and high-flying hockey, because the Russians, you know, thought they were the best in the world, and the Canadians thought they were the best in the world. And then Mike Richter had something to say about it. Then Team USA won that one, where Mike Richter stood on his head. And, you know, so it just brings out the best in star players.
It brings out the best in star players. And, Paul, I was very intrigued about the timing of this tournament, because of the fact that the Super Bowl has just ended. The NBA All-Star break is going on. This was probably the best opportunity to unleash the NHL players playing against the best that they can for pride of country, because viewership is skyrocketing for this already through two games, and it's giving fans a chance to watch some of their favorite players go through a format that they've never been able to yet.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that the NHL actually did something intelligent?
That's why I have to bring it up. They did something smart marketing, Paul.
This is the NHL. Big story. I'm surprised they didn't run the tournament like the day of the Super Bowl, or, you know. But it is probably a perfect time, unless you do it in the summer. But you're up against baseball in the summer. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, August baseball. That's when they used to do it. They used to do it before the season started.
Yeah, the World Cup of Hockey. That's right.
Yeah,
the
they
last
had
time.
Training camp, and they would do it before the season started. And then it kind of was bad for some teams, like the Buffalo Sabres. Gilbert Perreault was playing on a line with Wayne Gretzky and Guy Lafleur. And as Scotty Bowman, I read a quote from Scotty Bowman saying that's the best line he has ever seen in his whole hockey life. And Scotty Bowman has seen a lot of good hockey. And Gilbert Perreault is actually playing on the wing, and he was the best of the three. And he was outplaying Gretzky and Lafleur, and he broke his leg. So not only is he out of that tournament, he was also out of a good long time as for the Buffalo Sabres. You know, he wasn't able to play with them for a while. So, you know, you get the injury, you know, before the season, or the Vegas Golden Knights, they already lost Pietrangelo, who was out of the tournament, and now they lose Theodore, who's now out of the tournament and is week to week. So the Knights have now lost two defensemen because of this, and although Pietrangelo got hurt before the tournament, but still he's out of it, and you know they're going to have to move on when the regular season starts again without two of their defensemen.
Yeah, that is the one thing that I was going to talk to you about, is the fact that the last time that there was international play, the big one was John Tavares, back when he was with the Islanders, injuring his leg playing for Team Canada in the Olympics, and then all of a sudden NHL players are not allowed to play in Olympic play. So now the issue comes up again, where a player that is a top contributor on a playoff team and a cup contender loses a top-tier player. Do you think that sort of puts a pause button back on the NHL owners, who already had this fear going on that was prevalent for years?
You know, owners don't want to see it, but I think for the betterment of the game of hockey, I think you need to do these things. You need to have these tournaments, and if people get injured, it's a shame. It's too bad, but I still think you have to do these things, and it just... You know, people who are going to watch this on a Saturday now, even Sweden and Finland, you know, still you're going to see some excellent hockey players. They aren't as good as Team USA or Team Canada. They're later tonight. But, you know, and as you said, yeah, you can watch college basketball if you'd like. That's on. Or, you know, soccer, I think, might be on, or golf. But still, this is a good opportunity for, you know, people who maybe are just trying out hockey to see some great hockey. And I think, you got to take into account what's good for the game, and I think these tournaments are good for the game.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on the Western Hotline. So let's talk about a couple of these guys that are playing for this Four Nations Face-Off tournament that are part of the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, the big snub, Tage Thompson, not playing for Team USA. While still head-scratching, I don't think the American team is worried about it based on the results of their first game. But Henry Jokiharju scores the first goal of that one. And Rasmus Dahlin kind of reminding everyone, yeah, no, he still does a lot of what he does on a normal day-to-day basis with the Sabres, and now people are able to see that across the country.
Well, I was kind of surprised you were there today because I felt you probably were a multimillionaire now because you went to your favorite app and bet on Henry Jokiharju to have the first goal of the tournament, and you won your $1 million. So I thought, well, you're not going to come in today now that you're a millionaire. So, yeah, Henry Jokiharju with the first goal of the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know how unpredictable hockey can be sometimes. I mean, we do see it. Like, bounces happen, weird things. Weird things happen in hockey all the time. That qualifies.
And it was one of those, Hellebuyck, if you think about, Hellebuyck didn't have a difficult save the whole game, and that one hit a stick. It hit Connor's stick on the way to the net. At first, I thought maybe he muffed it, but the puck rised. It took a rise when it hit the stick, but then you think of the rest of the game. Finland really didn't put any pressure on Team Team USA at all. They decided the only way we're going to win this game is we try to slow down Team USA, and if they make a mistake, try to capitalize on it. But you know, that worked for two periods, but it didn't work in the third when the USA, I believe, scored four goals in the third period. So Hellebuyck, it's interesting because he's one of the best goaltenders, if not the best goaltender in the NHL during the regular season, and he hasn't been able to carry over in the playoffs. And a lot of people theorize that he plays more games than most goaltenders do, and he's worn out by the playoffs. He's out of gas. And all of a sudden, he's not Connor Hellebuyck anymore. But this is only February. Right now, this is the middle of the season for him when things are going well. And that's bad news, I think, for the rest of the tournament, because even if Team USA happens to have a bad game, you know, he can steal it for you, but with the type of talent they have on their team, then you have him in net. I mean, Canada has just as good or better talent, and the problem is, well, yeah, they got two Stanley Cup winners in net, but you know, they're not the greatest in the world, I don't think. I mean, Binghamton won with the Blues, yes, but overall hasn't been great. He was basically the fifth-string goalie. If you remember, mm-hmm. the Knights lost their goalies, starting with Robin Leonard before the season. They were on their fifth-string goalie. I'm trying to remember if I have this right. I'm not sure he was even on their roster to start the year. I think he might have come over in a trade halfway through the year because they needed a goalie. And next thing you know, he's the backstop to win the Stanley Cup. Well, he's there. Sam Matembo. Huh? Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think that's the best way to say it, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of bizarre.
I mean, Binghamton, any of them are capable of standing on their head. They're NHL goaltenders. All NHL goaltenders at some time will steal their club a game. So that could happen. But even if Hellebuyck's not right, you got Jake Oettinger standing there. And I think he's better than anything Canada has either. Jeremy mm-hmm. Swayman is supposed to be better than anything Canada has, but not this year. You know, he signed the contract and has not really had a good year at all. But, yeah, even if Hellebuyck and Oettinger or Hellebuyck fails or can't play, now you can put in Jake Oettinger, and they're still better than any of the three Canadian goaltenders.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, and not to mention, you mentioned Jordan Binnington. He's the one getting the start tonight for Canada. I'm very interested to see what happens there because he's a notorious hothead who's about to play against two of the most irritating players in all of the National Hockey League that share the same last name.
I wondered if maybe Hill would get the start over Binnington, but mm-hmm. I guess they've made the commitment that Binnington is their goaltender, and they're just going to go with it. You know, now Finland's going to make a move in net. Saros didn't do the job last game, and now Lankinen, who really never did the job as a goaltender in the NHL till this year, but he goes to Vancouver, and of course they have an injury to their star goaltender who was out quite a long period of time, and Lankinen steps in and did a great job. I mean, put up great numbers and all of a sudden had the opportunity to play every game and took advantage of it. So now he's going to get the chance. You know, you can always look back. Saros is a very good goaltender, but he hasn't had a great season. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has had a good season at times. At times, it hasn't been as good as the last 35 games he played last year, where he was one of the best goaltenders in the NHL and played a lot and did very well. He's had some very good games, but it hasn't, you know, been there have also been some bad ones, too. So, Lankinen, and I wondered if maybe Luukkonen would get the start over Saros. I was pretty sure Saros wouldn't get the second start after the first game. I'm not blaming that game on him, but, you know, there were a couple of goals he would have wanted back. But Lankinen, and I think about it, and you look at his numbers and what he did with Vancouver, and if you just look at what the two goaltenders have done this year, he would probably deserve the start over Luukkonen.
Paul, mentioning it, because UPL hasn't played, you know, we talked a little bit there about Henry Jokiharju, but Rasmus Dahlin, the last time we saw Sweden, it was against Canada, and then for some reason, he doesn't see the ice in overtime, even though he's probably one of the better overall defensemen on the Swedish roster, and that one was kind of baffling to me.
Well, I think it goes to show you what Sweden feels about Rasmus Dahlin, that he was supposed to be the Connor McDavid of defensemen when he was drafted. It's not worked out that way, although he has played at an all-star level at times. He's been an excellent defenseman. But, you know, I bring this up a lot, and I'm sorry if folks are irritated to hearing me say it again. But, you know, the NHL, you know, NHL Network came out with the top defensemen in the NHL, and Dahlin was ranked 11th, and I would say that's probably about right. When he was drafted, he was drafted to be like the number 1 to 3 defenseman in the National Hockey League, and he's not even the best defenseman in his draft. I mean, Quinn Hughes has already won the Norris Trophy. If you did the draft over, Rasmus Dahlin would probably be the 3rd overall pick. You know, Quinn mm-hmm. Hughes would be number 1, and Brady Tkachuk would be number 2. So, you know, and I think Sweden sees the turnovers. Sweden sees how he just gets in his own mind, and then he does dumb things on the ice at times. He takes dumb penalties or whatever because he lets his emotions take over. I think part of it is being the captain. I think he feels he wants to win so badly, he feels it's his responsibility to do it all, and then it's hero hockey. And that's when he starts turning the puck over or taking bad penalties, and then his emotions get a hold of him, and then he will take a bad penalty or give the puck away. The folks at Sweden see that. I mean, Now, he's with Forsling. Forsling played so well in the Stanley Cups last year for Florida. Was one of their best players. And actually, they're the third pair defense for Sweden, and I would make them the second pair. If you look at the first game, I thought Dahlin for the first half of that game was their best player. If I was, I thought about it about midway through the second pair, and I go, you know, if I was doing the Stars right now, Dahlin would be my third star in this game. I thought he was moving the puck well. I thought he was skating well. I thought he was making good plays. I thought he was defending. He did a great job defending. And I think he and Forsling look good together. But when you look at it, three defensemen out of the six, well, almost three defensemen didn't play for Sweden in the overtime. I mean, Brodin didn't play. And Dahlin didn't play, and Carlson played two shifts. One was 12 seconds and one was 10 seconds. And he was the reason they got scored on.
Mm-hmm.
He never, ever, 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 ever should have been on the ice. He is one of the worst defending defensemen in the National Hockey League. He is awful at it. He's one of the best offensive, not anymore, but was one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. And why Sweden put him on the ice instead of Dahlin or instead of Brodin, I have no idea. It just, all he did is back into his goaltender. I mean, Marner came down with speed, and Carlson just kept backing up. He didn't stand up at the blue line. He just backed right up into his goaltender. And didn't quite hit him, but he almost got back up far enough for that. And Marner had an easy goal. It was like he didn't want any part of trying to step up and get Marner because he's a bad defenseman. So, yeah, I think if you were looking for somebody at the end of overtime, and Dahlin right at the tail end of overtime with about a minute and a half left, they put him out there with Hedman. So they trusted him enough with about a minute and a half left in the regulation time to put him out with Hedman, but they didn't trust him to put him out even though they didn't really use a lot of their defensemen in the overtime. And one of the other ones, Ekholm, hardly played in overtime. So they basically, you know, used forwards with Hedman and forwards with Forsling, and that's the way they went. And overtime went about 6 minutes, so in the 6 minutes of overtime. But I think it just shows you what Sweden and the hockey program in Sweden thinks of Dahlin. I don't think they think a lot of them as far as, you know, some of the other defensemen that they have. Making him the third pair, he's not on either special teams. He doesn't kill penalties or on the power play. And, you know, and then you go to overtime, and he doesn't even get on for the 12-second and 10-second shift. They put somebody else on that cost him the game.
Paul, when it comes down to it with how this Four Nations is working, like the 10-minute overtimes with 3-on-3, that's a very fascinating thing. The 3-2-1 point system being introduced with this tournament. Do you think the NHL actually looks at adopting one of those rules when it comes to seasons going forward? Because I feel like that's something that we should pay attention to.
I don't think the Players Association would go along with 10-minute overtimes.
Mm-hmm.
They were asking some of the players, and I didn't hear one player other than a former player, Marty Baron, who loved it, but I didn't hear one player that wanted to play in the overtime. Nate MacKinnon was an absolute roadrunner. I mean, he was at top speed, and he had four golden opportunities, and if it wasn't for Gustafsson, or I got the wrong goaltender there. If it wasn't for Gustafsson, that would have been a huge problem. He made some huge saves on MacKinnon, four of them to be exact. And MacKinnon was one of them and said afterwards, he goes, there's no way. He goes, I'm dying right now. He goes, there's no way I would want to play a 10-minute overtime. Well, one of the people said maybe seven, but nobody had any interest whatsoever in playing a 10-minute overtime. So that's something I don't know if you would get by the Players Association unless you gave them a lot of things back in return.
Yeah, that one's fair. I do think, because you mentioned Nathan MacKinnon and how when it came to that overtime, he did not see a shot that he wanted to pass up. And even when he had players like Connor McDavid on a 2-on-1 rush with him, it's like, nope, he's still shooting it. All right, cool. Do your thing. I'm not going to tell Nathan MacKinnon what to do and not to do. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure some fans are probably getting nervous, like, what are you doing, man? Like, stop shooting every chance there. You have someone else with you, and it's also Connor McDavid, who will probably get the puck back to you anyway somehow.
But he had great opportunities.
He did, though, I mean, yeah.
He was coming with such speed, even Hedman was like, uh-oh. And Hedman's one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, and he got a great scoring opportunity to come one-on-one against Hedman. He was just flying. And they were great opportunities. I mean, you could make a case of maybe Gustafson being one of the stars in that game. He made some great saves in that game, and in overtime, they had 8 overtime shots. I believe MacKinnon had 4 of them, and he made some great saves before finally his defenseman helped him let a goal in, and they lost in overtime.
Paul, obviously, I appreciate having some time here with you. I would be remiss in doing my job if I didn't ask about the team that, you know, has to play here in Buffalo.
The Rangers? Yes, they will be here on Saturday, a week from today.
See, Paul's already on it. But obviously, the way that the season has gone, strange, depressing, plenty of words you can use with it. And yet, even with all of it, the Sabres had gone into this break with winning 4 of their last 5 and getting a win streak farther than 3 games for the first time since 2023. What do you think needs to happen with this team going forward into the offseason for them to try to get themselves back on track here? Because obviously this season, with that 13-game losing streak, it's too far gone still.
Yeah, it is, but I think it's important. I don't think trading players for draft picks needs to be done. I think it's important to do what they've been doing for the most part in the last 8 games. That Nashville game last Saturday was very disappointing. That was a game, I mean, Nashville's on a back-to-back and a 6-game losing streak. That was very disappointing. That should have been the easiest win of all of them. And they just basically fed Nashville's offense and wound up losing it. But I think what's important for them is to keep stringing games together where they play well. I mean, in those 7 games before that, they were 5-2. But in the 2 losses, they also played very well, and the game was right there for them. You know, learn how to win those games. You know, they were tied or behind by 1 goal in the 3rd period. You know, learn how to get points out of those games, or learn how to win those games. And I think that's what's important in this season, is to get, you know, do that over and over again. That, all right, you did your best in that game, and you were either right there to win the game or you did win the game, and learn that consistency, because that's why they're not in the playoff race right now. Is, you know, their best trait is being inconsistent. I mean, they're very good at it. And you know, learn how to, when they play well, they're a good hockey team. They've got good players. And when they play the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play, they are a good hockey team. And they showed it recently, winning 5 out of 7 games. But when they're not very good. So I think that's what this season has to boil down to, is, you know, making it so good hockey is just normal. You know, it's just, you don't have to think when you're on the ice. It just comes to you. Defending well comes naturally. Getting shots on goal and not 50 feet wide comes naturally. You know, playing well on your special teams just comes naturally. And I think that's what they have to be doing right now.
Paul, I appreciate your time. Thank you as always. And enjoy the rest of this tournament. And then, as you mentioned, the Sabres will be back in action a week from today.
Yes, and they can start practicing on Tuesday. So we'll all be back to the rink Tuesday afternoon.
And we'll all be ready to hear more from you, Paul. I appreciate it.
Take care.
That's Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline, the Four Nations Tournament, going on literally right now on ABC. So if you want to watch Sweden against Finland and Rasmus Dahlin and Henry Jokiharju taking the ice for their respective teams, you could go ahead and watch that, like literally right now, as that game is going on, like I said, on ABC. When we come back, we'll keep things going here as Sports Talk Saturday goes into its final half hour of the day. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, coming back with more here on WGR.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.